I hired an outside expert. We got every single data point for every patient born in my practice. 2,700 variably vaccinated, 560 some unvaccinated, and we age matched them and compared them. And this is what we found. You'll see vaccinated in orange, blue are the unvaccinated kids, and it speaks for itself. At doctorsandscience.com, all the slides I'm presenting here are available, so don't worry about trying to catch them all on pictures. But here we go. We're going to go fast because I only have 15 minutes. I want you to see these slides. Here's asthma, blue line unvaccinated, yellow vaccinated, allergic rhinitis, eczema, sinusitis, gastroenteritis, respiratory infections, otitis media, conjunctivitis. Those are eye infections. Wait a minute. I thought vaccines prevented infections. What's going on here? Vaccines shift the immune system to allergy and autoimmunity, and you have more and more infections of other kinds. Here's other infections. Here's breathing issues. Here's behavioral issues. ADD, ADHD. There was none in the unvaccinated patients for 10 years in my practice.
So I have worked on a study, a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study, and I would like to share the results of our study today.
We have done something for the first time. We have proven causation. We have proven that the unvaccinated are the healthiest people on the planet. We have proven that vaccines cause chronic illness. And I say cause in the full sense of the word, causation. We have proven that the vaccines are causing immune system dysfunction. They are causing a pandemic of chronic illness all across the country. And we used the tools of big pharma against them, meaning that we found the very best citations on the planet, the most authoritative citations all throughout the scientific community, and put them all together in a massive compendium of information submitted to the court. And so we have proven that vaccines are dangerous. We have also provided the court with a pilot survey where we calculated the exact risk of being vaccinated at any level. And what we found was that the unvaccinated children have chronic illness at 5%, whereas the vaccinated nation is at 50%, 5% unvaccinated, 50% vaccinated. That gap, that difference is so massive. It is so large, that gap, that only vaccines can cause such a gap. Let me give you an example. We surveyed 1,482 unvaccinated children, unvaccinated Americans. That's a lot. That is a lot of people, you guys. That is more than the CDC surveys for many of their studies that form national policy. We have a 99% confidence interval. If the average American has a 50% chance of chronic illness, that means you flip a coin. If it's A, it's chronic illness. If it's B, it's not chronic illness. In our study, we only found 5% of unvaccinated with chronic illness. Do you know what the risk of that is? I mean, the likelihood of that is? We calculated it. It's called the p-value. It is 1 in 84 with 83 zeros after it. That means, people, you are more likely to be hit by lightning on the way to winning the lottery. And then on the way home, you win the lottery again. That is more likely to happen than for this to be by chance. I have proven causation.
Our group of experts decided that we wanted to also compare the national data on the vaccine schedule over time. That's this red line. As you can see, this is the 1980s. That's my generation, where children were receiving about 10 vaccines. And then over time, the number grew to closer to 80 vaccines. So for example, the MMR vaccine, that's three vaccines in one. That's why we get to 80. And over time, this number increases. And we also are noticing that chronic illness is increasing. So our PhD did a Pearson correlation coefficient calculation to find whether the slope of this red line matches the slope of this orange line. And what he found is that the match in slopes is a 0.99, very high correlation. That's the same thing as saying there's probably a connection, a serious correlation between the increase in the number of vaccines and the increase in chronic illness in society. And we did a similar Pearson correlation coefficient for other things. This is autism. Autism has a 0.91 correlation, which is, again, a very high correlation. So as the number of vaccines increase, so also the autism rate in society. All of these things that we looked at match these. That's called a Pearson correlation coefficient. The conclusion of the report is here, where we find that for every single disease on the CDC schedule, the risk of vaccination is exponentially larger than the risk of the disease in question.
But I decided, why not do a quality assurance analysis of the data in my practice? So I hired an outside independent expert, informatics expert, who's actually a pediatrician neonatologist, had come in, pull every piece of data on every single patient born into my practice. Nobody was excluded, and we looked at health outcomes, all health outcomes, and compare them to how vaccinated people are. So this became the largest vaxxed, unvaxxed real-world data study. We had 561 unvaccinated in this cohort, 10 and a half years since I opened my practice, and 2,763 variably vaccinated. Why are they variably vaccinated versus just one size fits all? A couple reasons. One is we honor informed consent, and so parents get to decide. And the other reason is this data set was kids born into my practice, the oldest being 10 and a half, the youngest being just a few days old. So it was everybody born into my practice. You see in orange the amount of office visits, cumulative office visits in the vaccinated over those 10 and a half years. And in the blue is the cumulative number of office visits for that condition in the unvaccinated. And so what we found, I'm gonna go through it somewhat fast because it's a visual. So here's asthma. You can see cumulative office visits went from about a max of 50 in the unvaxxed to about 350 in the vaccinated. Huge magnitude of change. Here's the allergic rhinitis. The vaccinated up to about 400 office visits compared to maybe 50 in the unvaxxed. I mean, this is like 7-8 times as much. Sinusitis. This is an infection in kids. And you've got, again, stepwise increase, slight in the unvaccinated, massive increase in the vaccinated. Breathing issues, you see the same pattern. Behavioral issues, same pattern. 350 it reaches in the vaccinated, down around 50, 60 in the unvaxxed. ADHD. Remember the other studies like Miller and Hooker's, they didn't find ADHD in the unvaxxed, nor did I. That's interesting. I was actually surprised that there was zero. I'm sure that will change over time, but this difference is massive and significant. There's a lot of ADHD. That's neurodevelopmental things being triggered in the highly vaccinated kids. Respiratory infections. You might be thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, I thought vaccines prevented infections. Well, they may reduce the infection for which you're vaccinating, but because the vaccines in general shift the immune system more towards allergy and autoimmunity, you're actually less able to fight other infections. So that innate immune system that protects us from all these hundreds and hundreds of possible infections is actually harmed, making you more vulnerable to being sick. Here's otitis media. More infections by far in the vaccinated. Ear pain in the vaccinated. Other infections. Conjunctivitis, an eye infection. I mean, there's a lot of conjunctivitis. 1,000 cases over that 10-year period as you got more and more vaccinated compared to about 400 in the unvaxxed. Eye disorders in general, eczema, huge difference in eczema. About 100 for total office visits for the unvaxxed and 500 for the vaccinated. Dermatitis, just inflamed, irritated skin, itchy skin, urticaria, anemia. This one's interesting, folks. So pediatricians of my age remember being trained about the massive increase in developmental delays in anemic kids. Lots of studies, it's why we screen for anemia at 9 months, which is why you see this huge spike. Up to 1,000 cases of anemia in the vaccinated. Remember, we only had 2,700. So anemia is very common in vaccinated kids, only a couple hundred in the unvaxxed. Now this is age matched, so it's not; those aren't real numbers, they're just matched numbers, but they are a lot of visits. The value of having every visit documented is also, you get a sense of severity. So here's gastroenteritis in the vaccinated, way higher than in the unvaxxed.
Once the public sees and understands that the unvaccinated are the healthiest people on the planet, that is the end of the vaccine program. Everyone wants that for themselves. Everyone wants health for themselves. The unvaccinated study is the Achilles heel of Big Pharma. They are so afraid of the vax versus unvax study. It is the one thing they will not touch. The one thing they will not do. There is only one thing they will not study, and it is vaxxed versus unvaxxed. The reason why is because they know the answer. We know the answer. I have filed the answer in court with my pilot survey, with additional studies such as the Paul Thomas study. All the studies say the same thing. The unvaccinated are the healthiest people on the planet. The pharmaceutical industry came along and said, we need to inject everyone with more and more. And it just kept getting worse in the 1980s and in the aughts. And now we've reached a point where we are at a crisis mode. Our citizens are dying. Our citizens are being decimated. The unvaccinated have the answer. They have the cure, the solution. They live like it's the 1950s. They are healthy. If there was a block, if there was a street filled with unvaccinated people, there would only be one person on the block with an issue. Everyone else would be healthy, even the adults. That is so amazing. That is what we all want. We can achieve that. We have a plan. The plan is to expose the vaccine program as the cause of this pandemic of chronic illness. And then we will be asking for the abolishment of the 1986 law that provides immunity to pharmaceutical manufacturers. But eventually we want to remove the immunity protection from vaccine manufacturers. Once that has been accomplished, then all of the lawyers who are already ready to go, they are ready to sue, they have all the information, they will go after the pharmaceutical industry, and it will change everything when we accomplish that. The immunity gives an excuse to the manufacturers to not make a safe product. The reason why that is a big deal with vaccines is because vaccines are different than other products. They are designed to harm the individual. They're designed to alter the human immune system. They're designed to, and that's what they do. Vaccines work because they alter the human immune system and they alter it permanently. And this creates chronic illness in exchange for temporary antibodies, which are supposedly evidence of immunity. And this problem manifests in the vaccine manufacturer keeps doing more and more adjuvants to try to make the vaccine as potent as possible, to get as many antibodies as possible, because they're all about effectiveness. They don't care about safety. And we know this because they never will study a control group. I read all of their product inserts. I did more than that. I didn't just read the product inserts. I looked at the documents behind the product inserts, the applications for the FDA licensure. And what I found in those instances is that when the pharmaceutical company claims that they studied a control group, they're lying. For example, with Gardasil, they compared girls who had 3 Gardasils to girls who had 4 Gardasils. That's not a control. That is not science. That is a rigged trial. They lie about safety. And my job is to expose that and not allow sayings and slogans to get in the way of the facts. My job is to focus on the numbers, to require that the state prove the exact risk of the MMR vaccine, the exact risk of the whooping cough vaccine. I need to know the number. I will not stop unless I receive the exact number.
I am the general counsel for a physicians organization called Physicians for Informed Consent. And we help educate the public on infectious diseases and vaccines by providing data that is found on PubMed and data that is found in United States government records. My group, which is called the Control Group, submitted this evidence in court to show that vaccination is dangerous. And when I say vaccination, I mean all vaccines. The measles vaccine, chickenpox vaccine, all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe according to law. That is their designation. And so when we began our study, that was our null hypothesis, that vaccination is dangerous. Vaccination is unavoidably unsafe. And what our study set out to measure was how dangerous. What is the exact number of injuries caused by vaccines? This chart shows the vaccinated population in America, their health condition, and compares it to the unvaccinated survey group in America. The orange represents the United States population using United States government data. 60% of all adults in America have one or more chronic illnesses. A chronic illness, for example, is diabetes, heart disease, cancer, any condition that makes life really hard. That means that more than half of all adult Americans suffer one or more of these very difficult lifelong conditions. But our group surveyed a large number of unvaccinated Americans. And we found that percentage-wise, that group only suffers approximately 5 to 6% over their whole life of chronic illnesses, meaning that 95% of unvaccinated adults are perfectly healthy. They may get an infection from time to time, but they rebound and heal from that infection very quickly. So this means that the unvaccinated are 10 times healthier than the vaccinated in terms of this metric called chronic illness. And the numbers become even more dramatic when we look at multiple chronic conditions. As you can see, 42% of Americans have two or more chronic conditions. For example, an adult who has diabetes and cancer. But in the unvaccinated group, we found less than 1% of any adults who have more than one condition. And when you get to five chronic conditions, it's 12% of American adults have five or more health conditions. That basically means they're dying, compared to 0% in the unvaccinated group. Our experts include medical doctors, PhDs, top professionals. Our medical experts reviewed all of our data and our methods and confirmed that we have above 99% confidence in these results for multiple reasons.
We began with a pilot survey to show our null hypothesis that vaccines are dangerous. The result was more than we expected. We did not understand that the results were going to be this good, that they were going to be this statistically strong. We have proven causation.
This is a statistics report provided by our expert statistician. And it goes into detail using two different statistical methods to confirm that we are above 99% confident in these results. It follows the same methodology utilized by the United States Census to set national policy in the United States. Okay. For example, the United States Census will telephone individuals at their homes and ask them about their health conditions. They ask, what has your doctor diagnosed you with? Do you have diabetes, et cetera? This is the standard method for the United States Census to determine the National Children's Health Survey and to set national policy. So our group used the same method where we invited the patient or the parent to submit a survey form where they outline their medical diagnoses, any conditions that they have, and then tell us how confident they are in their results on a scale of 0 to 10. Yeah. How confident are you, with 10 being the highest? And we did not limit to any location. For example, we did not study only the Amish people in Pennsylvania. Rather, we opened the survey to all people from everywhere. These are the same types of people who go to normal supermarkets, they go to normal schools, they live among the vaccinated. And so that means that they tend to be eating the same foods, they are subject to the same amount of exposure to Wi-Fi, and they're just in the general genetic pool. In order to test whether genetics are a major confounding factor, one would need to do a sibling study where we include the siblings, because if you have a vaccinated sibling and an unvaccinated sibling, well, they have the same genetics. They live in the same household. And so by aggregating that data, one can find whether genetics is a confounding factor. But this is what we do know. We do know that there is no study on PubMed that has ever been published that would suggest that somebody has a tenfold risk of getting a chronic disease based on their diet, or a exponential greater risk of heart disease or diabetes based on their genetics or diet. The likelihood that this could just be by accident, the likelihood is so small that it reaches the sort of ridiculous numbers that one would see studying elementary particles at CERN. There's clearly a safety signal here. There's clearly something to look at. These numbers are too staggering to dismiss. All vaccines are experimental. When I look at the vaccine product insert, I see that no vaccines were tested formally by the FDA or by the manufacturer submitting studies to the FDA. No vaccines were tested with a genuine placebo. For example, when the manufacturer approved the HPV vaccine, they gave a Gardasil carrier solution to the quote-unquote control group. And this is a serious scientific problem because a control group is supposed to receive nothing, literally nothing. And by literally nothing, I mean the most they can receive is saline. As long as it's something that looks like the pill or looks like the injection, that would qualify. But Gardasil carrier solution has aluminum in it, and it also has other suspect ingredients. And so when the girls who receive the Gardasil carrier solution are compared to the girls who receive Gardasil, they have the same number of injuries, which allows the manufacturer to claim that the injuries are unrelated or there is no causation. And that is a problem because what the manufacturer should do is compare girls who receive Gardasil to girls who receive nothing, or alternatively, girls who receive a saline solution. So this problem is systemic for all vaccines. We looked at every single vaccine product insert, every single government document that related to these placebos and controls, and confirmed there is precisely zero vaccines ever that have been compared to a genuine control group. The government is not good about publishing this information. For example, for Gardasil, number three, the third Gardasil shot, I had to dig very deep in the FDA documents to find that the group called control group actually received two Gardasil shots. So the manufacturer compared girls with three Gardasil vaccines to girls who had two Gardasil vaccines. And because they both had the same number of injuries, the manufacturer said it's safe. But if you are a scientist or lawyer reviewing the documents, just the FDA product sheet, you would see that they compared Gardasil to a control group. That's all they say. It's just a control group. You have to dig very deep in the documents hidden by the FDA to find that it was not a control group. It was girls who had two Gardasil vaccines. So there is a very big problem in the pharmaceutical industry with hiding this information. Why? Why would the pharmaceutical industry and the United States government hide the information about control groups? We think the reason is that this information, this data, is so staggering. It is so important and dramatic that the government and the pharmaceutical companies do not know what to do with it. They are on a single track of promoting vaccination, even though vaccination is not helpful. Vaccination is harmful. It's not helping with mortality. This problem needs to be resolved. And I think that control groups are the method to do it.
We have to pay attention and start figuring out what is going on. Our kids are sick.
More than half the kids in America today have a chronic disease. 13% are in special ed. 1 in 6 has a developmental disorder, and millions suffer from allergies. We've got 15,000 or more kids diagnosed with cancer, 11% with ADD, ADHD. Autoimmune disorders are just skyrocketing. SIDS is something that was just being discovered around 1985 when I graduated from medical school. And we were just told, oh, it's probably because babies are sleeping on their tummies. We need to switch them to their backs. And sure, suffocation can happen. But we're going to cover the data on SIDS so you can understand there is actually a connection, a very clear connection with our CDC vaccine schedule. See, the problem is the CDC has never done, never, not a single vaxxed, unvaxxed study. They've been charged with doing that, but it just has not happened. So we did a model. I published this article with my cohorts there, and I want to show you this because this is really important to understand aluminum toxicity. What you'll see on the x-axis going up is the amount of aluminum in micrograms that's accumulating in the body over time. So this is over the first 2.5 years, 800 days, and the red line is the adult max. The blue line is the pediatric median safe level. The yellow and black are the CDC schedule content of aluminum in vaccines. The reason there's a range there is some vaccines you can choose a brand that has more or less aluminum. The green is the vaccine friendly plan, the book that I wrote, and that still has too much aluminum, as I'm going to show you. So if you look at the red line, we're exceeding adult safe levels on vaccine days. If you look at the green line, the vaccine friendly plan, you're exceeding safe pediatric levels. And with the CDC schedule, there's a sustained toxicity, which I'll show in this graph. So from birth to 7 months, you've got the yellow and the black lines as the CDC schedule. What percentage of your first 7 months are you over the pediatric safe level? 30 to 70%. Folks, imagine intentionally poisoning your child with a neurotoxin and a heavy metal that disrupts the immune system for 30 to 70% of the first 7 months of your baby's life. It's absolute insanity.
Another problem inherent to vaccination is that all vaccination is studied with short-term testing only at the FDA level. For example, we looked at the vaccines for measles and diphtheria, and we found that when the FDA did studies on whether those vaccines are causing injury to the participants in the clinical trials, they only had short-term testing. Sometimes they would only ask parents and patients for up to 30 days, sometimes only 3 days was the monitoring period. That's not good. The monitoring period should be years, because the way that vaccines work is that they alter the immune system. They are designed to create antibodies within the body. And this alters the entire body, because where is the immune system located? The immune system is located everywhere in your body. Vaccines, according to our control group data, vaccines cause lifelong suffering and early death for approximately one half of the entire population, for approximately 175 million people. So for 1,000 people saved, you have a lifetime of chronic illness for half of the population, which is a terrible bargain. Yeah. So heart disease, surprisingly, is immune mediated. Our expert PhD immunologist produced a document where we provide top vetted government citations that show that your immune system regulates your blood flow. It regulates your cardiovascular system. And that if the body's natural immune system is allowed to thrive and work as it does, that the rate of heart disease decreases to, in our study, was zero. Whereas the background rate over someone's lifetime is 48%. So let me put that into perspective just to show that vaccines cause heart disease. So the best way for me to show that is with my graph. This is the background rate of heart disease in the adult population in America, meaning one out of every two people, or 50%, 48%, have heart disease in some form. But in our group, where we surveyed 210 adults, that is zero. This shouldn't make any sense, because if vaccines were not causing heart disease, then we should have, this number should be 48%, or at least should be somewhere close to it. To find zero, that means vaccines are causing heart disease. And this would be like, imagine that you flipped a coin. You would have to flip the coin and it to come up heads 210 times in a row for there to be no correlation. And Imagine how many times you could flip a coin and it comes up heads every time in a row. Maybe 10 times max you might get. But to get to the number 210 is insane. Like, you could spend lifetimes trying to get to that number. So there's clearly a correlation between heart disease and vaccines. And that's exactly what our expert PhD immunologist found as well with published data.
So I hired a fellow to come in, an informatics expert. He was a pediatrician, neonatologist, informatics guy who set up healthcare systems in multiple countries around the world. The end of the first day, he's like a kid in a candy store. He goes, "My God, Paul, the data just jumps out at you." He was so excited. I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You're right. The unvaccinated kids don't get sick." I'm thinking, huh, well, I knew that. And I knew it from my previous data, but this was apparently a powerful, powerful signal. So what we did was we took every patient born into my practice from the day I opened in June of 2008 to the date we closed this data set, January 27th, 2019. And every single patient born into the practice was then de-identified, and that data set was then analyzed with Jack Lyons-Wheeler and myself, not knowing who was who. And let's see what we could find. It was a true blinded retrospective look at the data, period. And we compared the 2,600 and some variably vaccinated kids to the 561 unvaccinated. So I'm probably sitting on the largest population of unvaccinated kids, certainly in Oregon, but perhaps in the country. And I'm a full service, what they call a medical home clinic. We take care of everything. We do all the referrals. This is not a little micro practice. At the time we did this data set, there were 10 of us taking care of kids. We were taking care of 15,000 patients. This is a large full service clinic. So we wanted to focus on those born into the practice so that we got rid of all the variables of those patients who have vaccine injury and then choose our practice, because we have a lot of that. In my town, our clinic is probably the only full-service large clinic that takes patients who don't follow the CDC schedule. So other practices will discharge families who don't want to follow the CDC schedule. And the common story is, you as a family, you've got one injured child. You don't want to vaccinate your next child like you did the first. You just witnessed vaccine injury. And they say, well, no, it's been proven vaccines don't have any link to whatever it is, autism or whatever, seizures, lots of different things. And they just leave and they come find us, or they're actually sent to us. So that's how I ended up with this large population of unvaccinated kids. We did a number of things to make sure that ruling out other variables, like people worried, well, maybe the unvaxxed families don't seek medical care. Well, we looked at that. We compared visits for fever with visits for well child visits. And the unvaxxed are coming for all their well child visits. They just aren't having fever visits because they don't get sick. And then we looked at, on this graph, you'll see the orange line kind of jumps out at you. Those are your vaccinated kids. So whether it was asthma, allergic rhinitis, breathing problems, behavioral issues, ADD, ADHD, you'll notice there's nothing on either group until about age four or five. Well, that's when you start diagnosing ADD, ADHD. What we did was we took this entire data set and we looked at every single diagnostic code that was billed. So this was just blinded. You just look at the billing and the magnitude of the visits. So along the left axis that goes up, you'll see the numbers are higher as you go up. Those are the let's just take asthma, for example, the top one there. Some unvaccinated kids, the blue line, had a little bit of asthma, but the number of visits for asthma was way down. And that also gives you a sense of severity. So if you have ADD, ADHD, for example, that one really jumps out. The unvaccinated just didn't have it, which that's just amazing to me.
Wow.
My hunch is that ADD, ADHD is on the very mild end of the spectrum, what we call the autism spectrum, because if you have a severe amount of inattention to where nobody's home, you're going to be diagnosed on the autism spectrum. If it's just a little, you're kind of ADD, or if you're hyper as well, it's ADHD. Well, severity is what you notice there. That curve is quite steep. meaning, you know, if you have severe problems with focus and attention and learning as a result of it, you're going to come in for a lot of visits. You know, I take care of 1,000 patients or more than 1,000 who are ADD or ADHD out of those 15,000. That's a lot. Now, most of these patients weren't my patients born into my practice, right? So you see the blue line is those 561. And even the ones who are in my practice, most of them are following the vaccine-friendly plan or slower. And so they tend to do better. So these graphs just sort of put it in a pictorial form that you just, it jumps out at you. The more you vaccinate, the more health conditions you're having. Anemia is a very interesting one. Way at the bottom, it just skyrockets at 9 months. And there's a reason for that. In pediatrics, we screen for anemia. It's a routine screen done at the 9-month well visit. And you see those with vaccines mostly, boom, a lot of them have anemia. Those who aren't vaccinated don't. So here's some other studies. This was the Mawson study. If you see the little white unvaccinated child relative to that child, the vaccinated kids had twice as much chronic illness, 3 times as much eczema, 4 times as much neurodevelopmental autism, ADD, learning disabilities, and 30 times as much allergies.
So this was one of the first good studies, the Mawson study. It was a survey of 6 to 12-year-olds. And what they looked at, this first graph here, this tiny little blip at the top, is the preterm babies compared to unvaccinated term babies. And you'll see that the risk was relatively even, 1.1, odds ratio of having problems. So as long as you don't vaccinate those preterm babies, they do okay. If you compare vaxxed term babies, now their risk goes up to 2.7. And then if you get down to the bottom, and that's the preterm vaxxed babies versus unvaxxed term babies, 14 times more problems of neurodevelopmental issues. So this was a huge indicator that vaccines in infancy are a huge problem, especially for preemies. Now this graph here I love because it's easy to understand. The little white dude there, this is still the Mawson data. That's the unvaccinated child. And relative to the unvaccinated child, you have 2.4 times as much chronic disease in the vaccinated children. You have 3 times as much eczema, 4 times as much neurodevelopmental disorders, autism, ADD, ADHD, 5 times as much learning disabilities, and 30 times the allergic rhinitis. Vaccines in the CDC schedule are massive triggers of allergy, and we're learning autoimmunity. So here's another important vaxxed unvaxxed study. The analysis of health outcomes in vaccinated unvaccinated children, developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and GI disorders. Brian Hooker and Neil Miller, just published in 2020. And here's what they found.
Here's another one. Hooker and Miller in 2020 published this one. Top three graphs show odds of 2, 4, and 2 times for developmental delays, asthma, and ear infections at very significant levels. Then last year, they published another massive study. Multiple pediatric practices, they pooled all their data, and here's what they found. Highlighted in yellow, allergies, autism, gastrointestinal disorders, asthma, ADD, ADHD, and ear infections, all massively increased in the vaccinated. Odds ratios going from 4.3 all the way up to 27 times. This is real data with positive p-values, meaning it's highly significant.
If you look at these top curves up here, odds ratio, if you're one, then it's not causing any issues. So for developmental delays, move this little dude over here. For developmental delays, you're twice as likely to have developmental delays if you're vaccinated compared to unvaccinated. Asthma, 4 times as much. Ear infections, twice as much. These p-values, folks, a p-value of 0.0001, I think that's 1 in 10,000 is the chance that this could be random, right? So, I mean, this is massive significance, super, super significant. So Brian Hooker and Neil Miller recently published another really important study. And what you're going to see here is those same odds ratios for allergies, severe allergies, autism, 4, 5 times as frequent in the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. GI disorders, 13 times. Asthma, 17 times. ADD, ADHD, 20 times as frequent in the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. And ear infections, 27 times. Folks, that's absurd. That's 2,780% increase. Now, what's interesting is we're starting to see a pattern, aren't we? And when you see a pattern, this is when you can start to say there's actual cause and effect. There's, again, allergies, autism, GI, asthma, ADD, ADHD, and ear infections.
In 1983, when I started medical school, I was taught vaccines were safe and they were effective and give them. But I was not taught about any of the science around their safety or any of the studies around how safety were done. And it wasn't until 1998 that a mother came up to me and said, "Dr. Larry, did you know that there's mercury in vaccines?" And I said, "No, I did not." And as a medical student, I was trained to critically think. If you see an observation, you go after it and try and figure out if there's a question to ask. So instead of just ignoring it, I looked further into the vaccine ingredients. And I found that there were a number of vaccine ingredients that in animal studies were proven to be very dangerous to animals. And I didn't understand why these same ingredients were actually in vaccines. I was starting to hear stories from parents, not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands of stories from parents who took a very healthy child into their doctor's office and then found that their child lost much of their health, whether it was their speech, whether it was seizures, whether it was death, whether it was asthma, allergies, eczema, whether it was autism, whether it was learning disabilities, whether it was inflammatory bowel disease, autoimmune diseases. And every one of those parents were told it had nothing to do with the vaccine. Every single one. And this continues today. But yet when I look at the ingredients that are in the vaccines, I have the science to actually explain how these medical problems could be happening in these children. Today, one child in five is learning disabled. In 1976, it was one in 17. One in six under age eight, one in two adolescents, and one in four young adults is diagnosed with a mental, behavioral, or emotional disorder. One in 20 children under the age of five have seizures. One in child in 40 develops autism. The number of cases of children and adults with autoimmune diseases is rising exponentially. It's one of the highest rising diseases in this country. And the vaccine ingredients, if you are willing to look at them and understand how they work when they're injected into the body, can be seen to be responsible for every single one of these cases. So why are we blaming the unvaccinated children? No study has ever been done in this country appropriately to address the health outcomes of children who are vaccinated versus the children who are unvaccinated. I have been seeing families in my practice for over 20 years that have opted out of vaccination. They are the healthiest children I have ever seen. I have families who have older children who have been vaccinated, middle children who have been partially vaccinated, and then younger children who have not been vaccinated at all. And those families are rising in number, and they see the difference between the health outcomes of their younger children who are rarely sick versus their older children who are getting IEPs in schools, needing medications, ERs, and constant health issues. Unfortunately, we're dealing with a lot of beliefs instead of actual science. I took the oath of first do no harm, but when I look into the science and I don't see long-term studies, and I see only short-term studies up to 4 to 10 days where the side effects are manipulated by the manufacturers who are the only ones doing the studies on the vaccines. And when I see no placebo groups, and I see no studies of the single ingredients or the combined ingredients, and I see the science, the biochemistry of the ingredients in animal studies, where animals who are given the aluminum are found to have motor delays and behavioral problems, which is a great deal of what we're seeing in children today. I say, are we first doing no harm? And so first do no harm means the precautionary principle. And more parents are understanding the dangers of vaccines, and that's why we're seeing such pressure to mandate vaccines, because more of the science is coming out.